The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I have come from you, and that they have believed that you sent me. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in a world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon. One more here coming up. Good morning. Good morning to y'all. Good morning. Did you know that last Thursday was a special day? It was actually a holiday. Last Thursday was a holiday. You know, today's a holiday. Today's Mother's Day, right? You did remember Mother's Day? But Thursday was also a holiday. It was a very important holiday in the life of the church. It was called Ascension Day. Anybody have any idea what Ascension means? Okay? You ever heard the word ascend? Maybe, maybe not. Ascend means to go up. And so Ascension Day was the day that Jesus went back to heaven. It was after Easter, and he had talked to disciples and followers, and God raised him back up to go back to heaven. And so on Ascension Day, that's what we celebrate. But in our gospel reading today is a story, or it's actually a prayer. And Jesus was a little bit worried. He was worried about his disciples because he knew that he was not going to be with them much longer. When he prayed this prayer, it was on the night that he was going to be arrested. He was going to be arrested, and then he would suffer many things, and he would die on the cross. And then he knew then, too, a short time after that, that he would go back up to heaven. And so he was somewhat worried about his disciples, and so he prayed for them. He prayed to God that he told God, thank you for giving them to me. If you remember from last week, we talked about that Jesus called his disciples his friends because they had lived together and walked together and ate together for 3 years. He had taught them, he had instructed them. And so he called them his friends. And he tells God, thank you for giving them to me as my friends. But he also prays that please protect them because he knew that he wasn't going to be there for a little while, for much longer. And so he prays that God would protect them from the evil one, that they may stay together and that they may stay strong in faith. Do y'all ever pray? When do y'all pray? At nighttime when you're ready to go to bed? Okay, at breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Uh-huh, before you eat. Any other times?
You know that you can pray any time of the day? And you can pray for anything that you feel like you need to pray for. Tell you what, I've got a prayer too for y'all today. All right, I'm going to say thank you, God, for something, and I want to point to it, and then y'all finish it, okay? All right, so thank you, God, for my... All right, thank you, God, for my... Thank you, God, for... The crowd or for everyone? Uh-huh. Thank you, God, for... What?
Everything.
That's right. Thank you, God, for everything. Okay. But we can also pray to God for certain things. If there are things that worry us or trouble us, we can pray. Or things that scare us, we can pray to God for that too. So I want you to do something here. Kind of make a little box with your hands. Can you make a little box with your hands? Okay. And I want you to whisper into that box something that makes you sad or something that has you worried, okay? Or something that has you scared, something that scares you. Whisper into that box something that makes you sad or worried or scared, okay? Whisper into that box. Okay, now take that box, rub it together. Rub your box together and throw it up. Throw up that box. We're giving that back to God so that we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to be scared about it anymore. But God will take care of that for us. That God takes care of those things. Okay? We can always pray to God. We can always give thanks to God. And we can always tell Him what's got us worried. Okay. All right. Y'all can go sit down. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably heard the saying before, a family that plays together stays together. And I think it makes a reference to that if you are a family, that you do need to spend time together with each other. And it's not only just taking care of the things that need to be taken care of, but it also means enjoying each other, to spend time actually playing. Maybe going on vacation or taking trips or just staying home and playing. However that family enjoys doing that. Because I think as you spend time just enjoying each other, you're more likely to stick together, support one another, and just enjoy life much more. But I want to rephrase that just a little bit. Instead of saying the family who plays together stays together, I want to say the family who prays together stays together. A study was done several years back on marriages and some things that maybe held them together or some things that broke them apart. In that study, over the general population of all the people that they studied, and they selected a very large group, over that group of people, they found that about 50% of marriages stayed together. But they found then too that of those groups that they surveyed, that the marriages or the couples that said that they had an active church life, and I assume that would mean coming to church on a regular basis and maybe participating in committees or maybe one of the music ministries that they have going on or maybe service projects or maybe in the leadership of the church, but if they had an active church life, if that married couple had an active church life, then the percentage of staying together was 75%. And one of the questions that the survey asked is, do you do home family devotions? And surprisingly, there were quite a few out of that survey. There were 1,350 couples that answered, yes, we do home devotions. And home devotions would include reading either some devotional material, or maybe reading through Scripture, or talking about Scripture, or talking about a Sunday school lesson, maybe even singing a hymn and having some prayers. But for those families who said yes, that they do a family home devotional, out of that 1,350 couples that were interviewed, only one couple ended in divorce. That's better than a 99.9% rate of sticking together. The family that prays together stays together. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus prays for his disciples. They pray together, and Jesus prays for them. Chapter 17 in John's gospel is known as the Great Priestly Prayer. And it takes up that whole chapter, chapter 17. And in that chapter, Jesus does pray for a number of different things. One of the things that he prays for is himself. Now, it sounds a little bit egotistical to pray for yourself. But that's what Jesus does. And as a matter of fact, though, in another story, Jesus is critical of people who pray for themselves. If you remember that story where he calls the Pharisees hypocrites because they stand on the street corner and raise their arms and raise their voices, and they say in a very loud voice, "Thank you, God, that you have made me a Pharisee and not like one of these sinners out here." But Jesus, too, prays for himself. But he prays for himself in a different way. He says, "Father, glorify the Son so that the Son may glorify the Father." What do we pray for? A lot of times we too pray for ourselves. We pray for maybe giving thanks. "God, thank you for all the great things that you've given me." Sometimes we pray for things that we want or things that we think we need. Sometimes we complain to God. Sometimes we whine to God. Sometimes we even try to bargain with God. "God, help me through this surgery, and I will be in church every Sunday afterwards. God, help me get that promotion at work, and I'll put some more money in the offering plate." Unfortunately, we don't always follow through with those bargains that we make with God. But Jesus prays for himself in a way that is truly not really for himself, but it is for the glory of God. "Father, glorify the Son so that the Father may be glorified." It's a somewhat dangerous prayer to pray. If we pray in that way, it is a dangerous way to pray, because think about it. The way that God was glorified through the Son was through his suffering and through his death. By Jesus coming to this earth and taking on humanity. By Jesus undergoing that suffering. By Jesus dying on the cross. And that is how God was glorified. That is the glory of Christ. But we too can pray that same way. "Father, glorify the Son so that the Son may glorify the Father." We can pray in that same way, with that same light, that we're not focusing upon ourselves, but that we're focusing upon God, or focusing upon our neighbor. "God, help me through this surgery so that I may have several more years to continue to doing ministry. God, make me strong in faith so that I can proclaim your word, so that I can tell others about the kingdom of God. God, give me courage, even when I am weak, even when I have doubts." We can pray in that same way that Jesus prayed. "Father, glorify the Son, so that the Son may glorify the Father." One of the other things that Jesus prays for here in this prayer is for his disciples. As I mentioned in the children's sermon, that this was a troubling time for Jesus and for his disciples. In just a few hours, Jesus would go out to the Garden of Gethsemane. He would pray for a little while, and then he would be arrested, and the events would start of his passion, of his suffering, and of his death. And so it was an intense time, and he was concerned about his disciples. He had been teaching them, he had been with them, he had been around them. The disciples had seen the miracles, they had heard his words. But yet Jesus was still concerned about him, because Jesus at this point is still tied to this earth. He is still fully human. And as a human, he is tied to space and time. He could only be in one place at one time. He could only visit with so many people at one time. And there were thousands of people who needed his ministry. There were millions of people throughout the world who needed his ministry. And he could not talk to all of them at the same time. And so he was concerned for his disciples, because his disciples then were trained to go out and do the very thing that Jesus did after Jesus has left this earth. And so he prays to the Father, Father, protect them. Keep them safe from the evil one. Keep them as one. Keep them whole. Keep them strong in faith, so that they can continue on in this ministry. The last paragraph in John's chapter 17 is not included in our gospel lesson, but one of the things that he prays for in that last paragraph is actually for the world. And again, we see that focus that's not upon himself, but it is the focus of his ministry, that focus of the mission that he is there. Because he prays for the world, that he prays, Father, that there are countless people who have not yet heard of the glory of God, who have not yet come to believe. And he prays that the world may be receptive to this word that is coming. As Jesus prays for his disciples and he prays for the world, he prays for us too, because we are a continuation of that. We are the disciples now here on this earth. And Jesus calls us into service. And as we pray, and as we think about the ministry that God calls us into, we too can pray for strength. We can pray for thanks that God can use us, even though we fall short, even though we don't feel qualified, even though that we are sinners. It is still amazing that God can use us in his ministry to go out and proclaim his word, go out and proclaim that kingdom of God. And hopefully we can proclaim that in a way that people actually hear and understand. We can say the words, but that it may just glance off of them. We can do deeds, but maybe they won't see them. But maybe there is a way, as individuals, because it is one-on-one a lot of times, the best way to proclaim that kingdom of God. Maybe through some sort of communication, some sort of skills that God has given you, some sort of talents or abilities, that they can hear that word and that they can come to believe. Jesus prayed for himself so that God's glory may shine through him. He prayed for his disciples so that they can continue on in ministry. And he prayed for everyone that they may hear who he is. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the grace and peace of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be with us now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.